Near Collisions by Neon Brutalism and read by Coprime. Rating, teen and up. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Daredevil Comics. Relationship, Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson. Additional tags, not actually unrequited love, Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson at Columbia, Autumn, Blizzards and Snowstorms, Halloween, Hallucinations, Supervillains, Food Trucks, First Kiss, Poutine, Action Adventure, and cameos and mentions of other heroes and villains. Summary. The September air was brisk, the campus was lively, and Foggy Nelson wanted to kiss Matt Murdock. Nope, no way. Let's tuck that thought away and never examine it or think about it ever again. Matt was not only his roommate, but his best friend. His very straight roommate, who dated pretty much exclusively model-level hot women. Wanting to kiss him was, well, a downright stupid idea that would do nothing but blow up his life. He was just being silly. Three times in Autumn that Foggy wanted to kiss Matt Murdock. Chapter 1. September. The September air was brisk, the campus was lively, and Foggy Nelson wanted to kiss Matt Murdock. He wasn't sure where that thought came from. Somewhere between watching his profile grin at Foggy's stupid joke about the Frisbee Golf League and admiring the way the afternoon sun highlighted the muscles in his neck. Foggy swallowed and looked away. Nope, no way. Let's tuck that thought away and never examine it or think about it ever again. Matt was not only his roommate, but his best friend. His very straight roommate, who dated pretty much exclusively model-level hot women. Wanting to kiss him was, well, a downright stupid idea that would do nothing but blow up his life. He was just being silly. He looked at him again anyway. Matt's grin had faded a bit. You all right, Fog? Matt asked, tilting his head in Foggy's direction. Why? I'm fine. Well, I'm pretty sure we're passing the Delta Gamma sorority house, and I'm waiting for your customary description of what they're up to, Matt said, grinning wickedly and nudging Foggy with his elbow. Come on, horny spoken word Caravaggio, paint me that word picture. Right. Most sincere apologies, Matthew. My mind was elsewhere, Foggy said, pulling out his most dramatic voice to distract himself. He looked towards the house, which was quiet, save for a girl sitting on the porch reading a textbook. Well, just somebody in a sensible fall cardigan reading a herpetology book. Oh, so this is more of a horny Attenborough. Foggy scoffed and smacked Matt's arm. He tried not to think about the taut muscle under the sleeve of that cardigan. Heads up, called a voice across campus. Foggy turned his head to look at where the voice was coming from, only to suddenly find himself tangled up in his own limbs and flat on his back in the grass, watching a football sail over him. The apparent football-throwing frat boy came jogging over, laughing. Sorry, man. Good thing you tripped on your buddy's stick. I think that would have nailed you right in the face. Is that what happened? Foggy said, looking up at Matt. You guys should be more careful, huh? Said Matt, angling himself toward the frat boy. Yeah, the boys are getting kind of rowdy, said the frat boy, as he helped Foggy back to his feet. We were hoping the Delta Gamma girls would be around, but I think they're all at a reptile show out in White Plains. Girls love lizards. Right, said Matt. Once the frat boy had gone back to his friends, Foggy brushed himself off and they continued on their way. Sorry, Fog, said Matt. Didn't mean to trip you. Probably a good thing you did, said Foggy. My accidental hero. Matt just grinned, lopsided, and Foggy pretended he didn't want to kiss him again. Chapter 2. October. The October night was chilly, the streets were damp, and Foggy Nelson wanted to kiss Matt Murdock. At least, he was pretty sure it was Matt. 99% sure it was Matt. He sounded like Matt, smelled like Matt, and who else but Matt would be fireman carrying him over rooftops to safety? Foggy didn't dare open his eyes to double check. It had been hard enough being convinced by the creature with Matt's voice to just shut his eyes and trust the rest of his senses. Foggy was pretty sure if he saw the thing carrying him again, he'd start kicking and screaming, and then soon start plummeting when he slipped out of Matt's grip. He did open one eye to peek at the city flying behind them as Matt, hopefully Matt, swung him to safety. He shut his eye immediately and yelped as a spider the size of a minivan hopped up nearby. "Daredevil!" the spider yelled out. Matt, unfortunately, detoured to land next to it. "Any luck tracking down Mysterio?" Matt asked, gently setting Foggy down and slapping a hand over his eyes. Foggy barely saw a flash of red claws that felt like Daredevil's glove on his face. "It's a work in progress," said the spider. The roof didn't sound like it had eight legs on it. "Hey, Spidey," said Foggy, waving in the general direction of Peter's voice. He was proud of how little his own was shaking. "How's your night going?" It was okay, up until the monster hero hallucination gas. "Somebody threw a sandwich at me. Free dinner and breakfast if I don't finish it tonight," Peter said cheerfully. Foggy made a mental note to slip the kid $50 the next time he saw he had pockets instead of just carapace. "Let me deposit Foggy back at his apartment," Matt said, not removing his hand from Foggy's eyes, "and I'll start tracking him down." While Spider-Man and Matt chatted, Foggy turned his head slightly and peeked out one eye to look out at the rest of the city. People were either cowering in their homes or trying to chase down the monsters in the street. Foggy, for his part, had been cowering under his desk when Daredevil came knocking on the window. Foggy had made a break for it upon seeing a bloody, misshapen demon at his window, and it took Matt the better part of an hour to corner him and convince him to close his eyes, listen to his voice, and stop trying to hit him with a mop from the supply closet. Once Foggy had dropped the mop, Matt had let Foggy feel the fabric of his gloves. No blood, no talons, and Foggy wondered how he could have been fooled. He placed a hand on the side of Matt's face, scratching with stubble because it was the end of the day, and Daredevil preferred a certain level of scruff, and nearly leaned in to kiss him, only to open his eyes, see the monstrosity with all those rotten, knife-sharp teeth that was certainly not his best friend, and grab the mop a second time. After a few minutes, Foggy felt his warm hand on his shoulder. He screwed his eyes shut again. "Ready to go?" Matt asked. Foggy just nodded, and soon they were off. Foggy risked opening his eyes again to climb into the window of his apartment from the fire escape. While the abomination was still there in the corner of his eye, the reflection in the glass was somehow, thankfully, just Daredevil, his jaw set in concern and worry evident through the mask. Foggy badly wanted to kiss him. "Keep your eyes closed, Fog," said Matt. "Sorry," said Foggy, clambering through the window. Safely in his apartment, Foggy paused before turning back, his eyes shut. "Be careful out there," said Foggy. "I'll be a lot less distracted, knowing you're not out there weaponizing a mop," said Matt. "I'll give you a call when it's over." "Good luck," said Foggy. He forced his eyes open once he heard the distinct rattle of the fire escape and willed himself to stare at the retreating monster until he could see that, really, it was only Matt after all. Chapter 3. November. The late November wind was bitingly cold, the city was buckling under the weight of an early blizzard, and Foggy Nelson wanted to kiss Matt Murdock. Foggy ignored that thought as he usually did when it popped up. Not that there was much of an opportunity to do anything like kissing at the moment anyway, since he was cowering behind the judge's bench, along with the judge herself and the prosecutor, Jeremy Coring, while Matt stood in red spandex, armed with nothing but billy clubs and his own stupid sense of justice amid the now sleet-covered wreckage of the gallery. Something about the wind and the dark, stormy sky made him look so... "So, Jeremy," said Foggy, looking at the prosecutor, forcing himself to stop thinking about kissing Matt. "Think the DA would like to drop the charges against Mr. Mirza?" "Shut up, Nelson," Jeremy hissed, voice almost lost in the wind blowing in from the big hole in the wall. "I just think it's pretty evident that Mr. Mirza is not, in fact, the criminal known as the Prism," said Foggy, "on account of..." Foggy nodded toward the destroyed courtroom. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see a smattering of reflective glass where the drywall used to be. "It just seems like the actual Prism attacking the court because he's pissed that somebody's getting credit for his work puts a teensy hole in your case, Jer," Foggy said. Jeremy scowled. "Listen, you smug." "That's enough from both of you," said Judge Atkinson, irritably, with a sharp look at Foggy. "I wish you'd headed for the door and Murdoch was here," grumbled Jeremy. "Trust me, you don't," Foggy said, as a chair hurtled into the wall, quickly followed by the Prism, who then collapsed into an unconscious heap. Foggy peered around the makeshift cover at Daredevil. He was obviously soaked and his nose was bleeding, but there didn't seem to be any other damage. "Daredevil," Judge Atkinson said, as she got to her feet before either Jeremy or Foggy could. "Thank you. That could have been much worse." Daredevil grinned, lopsided and charming despite the blood on his face, and Foggy wanted to kiss him more than ever when he saw that stupid, cocky expression. "Better than much worse is my specialty." Foggy barely restrained an annoyed sigh at that cheesy line. Atkinson and Jeremy had heard him sigh at Matt enough that he was sure it would be kind of a giveaway about Daredevil's identity. Eventually, once Prism had been arrested, Daredevil had made his exit back out into the storm, and Mr. Mirza was allowed to spend the night at home until court reconvened, online, thankfully, in the morning for the case's official dismissal. Foggy managed to leave the courthouse, barely and slowly, considering how slick the courthouse steps were. The storm still hadn't abated. At the bottom of the steps, Matt stood leaning against a street lamp, hands in his pockets and shivering slightly. His wool overcoat was more or less dry, but Foggy could tell he was absolutely soaked underneath. He turned his head as Foggy descended the stairs. "Foggy, that you?" Matt said, purely for the benefit of the few people rushing around on the icy sidewalk. "You're going to get hypothermia, idiot," said Foggy. "Atkinson is letting Mr. Mirza go home tonight, and we can do team's court in the morning for dismissal." "All's well that ends well," said Matt, taking hold of Foggy's arm. He still had on his red Daredevil gloves. "And you're well? No body parts turned to glass by Prism you managed to hide?" said Foggy, examining Matt out of the corner of his eye as they walked down the street. "He doesn't turn people into glass, he turns them into crystal. And no, all flesh and blood accounted for," said Matt. "For now," said Foggy, "since I'm pretty sure if you're out in the cold much longer, bits are going to start freezing off. Let's get a cab." "It's not that far to walk," said Matt. "I can hear your little red booties squishing in your shoes," said Foggy. "And if I can hear it, it'll probably drive you bananas after three blocks." "The sound's not even the worst part," Matt admitted. "It feels like wearing socks made out of raw meat." "Delightful," said Foggy, waving down a cab. The cab ride was mostly spent chatting quietly about the caseload for the next week. Foggy kept looking at Matt out of the corner of his eye. He was a little flushed from the cold, face still a little wet, and Foggy could see tiny droplets of melting ice on Matt's pale orange eyelashes. He wanted to kiss Matt. Foggy wrenched his gaze away. Beside him, Matt nudged him with his shoulder. "I'm fine," said Matt quietly. "I'm not hypothermic, I don't have frostbite, and nothing got turned to crystal." "Not hypothermic yet. Straight into a hot shower when you get home, I mean it," Foggy said, and immediately wished he hadn't said anything about Matt getting in the shower. He really had to get a handle on this. He looked at his hands for the rest of the drive and forced his thoughts away from the memory of Daredevil, fearlessly, recklessly, beautifully, charging in to save the day. Chapter 4. September, again. The September air was humid, the city was lively, and Matt Murdock wanted to kiss Foggy Nelson. That wasn't really altogether unusual. Matt spent a lot of time idly thinking about kissing Foggy. In law school, in the office, when he was going back home after a patrol and happened to pass by Foggy's building. Even those times they weren't talking. More often, during those times, actually. His mind would drift off, and he'd daydream about showing up at Foggy's apartment, sweeping him off his feet, and making a grand romantic gesture, and that would fix everything. His daydreams weren't especially realistic. He was mid-unrealistic daydream when he was suddenly brought back to the real world by the sharp sound of Foggy's laptop snapping shut. "Done for the day," Matt said, shutting his own computer with a good deal less force than Foggy had and pulling his earbuds out. "If I have to write one more briefing today, I might be done with the profession entirely," said Foggy. "What's the opposite of lawyer, anyway?" "Lawless night vigilante," said Matt. "I might have already cornered the market." "Always puncturing my dreams, Matthew," said Foggy. After bidding goodnight to the staff, they exited out onto the busy street. "I think you owe me dinner," said Foggy. "That seems likely," said Matt. "But why?" "The 3 a.m. window appearance 2 weeks ago that scared the hell out of me. And for being 40 minutes late in court in August. And the Dr. Doom thing in May," said Foggy, ticking off his fingers. Matt crossed his arms. "I am not responsible for the Dr. Doom thing in May. Take that up with the Avengers." Foggy waved him off. "Semantics. Did you or did you not try to help an evil computer kill Reed Richards?" "I suppose," said Matt, slightly aggrieved. "So, three strikes, and you're out the price of dinner, pal," said Foggy. "And lucky us, a bunch of the food trucks from the Canadian National Exhibition happened to be at Bella Abzug Park this evening. A boon from our polite, moose-loving, goose-wielding neighbors to the north." "Goose-wielding?" "That is my understanding of their relationship with them, yes." "May I suggest we stop for some antacids ahead of this misadventure?" Matt said, raising a skeptical eyebrow at Foggy. "Way ahead of you," said Foggy, shaking his briefcase, which rattled with the sound of Tums. "You've been planning this for a while," said Matt. "From the moment I read the words poutine pizza on a stick on Baron Mordo's food truck blog, I've been planning this," said Foggy. He rated it 3.5 orbs out of 5, which is basically a Michelin star. Matt sighed. "I'm concerned with you trusting Baron Mordo with anything, let alone food critique." "Oh, he's fine when it's nothing to do with magic or Doctor Strange. You know, he was a judge on Top Chef's food truck episode last season." "Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure Loki owns Bravo," Matt grumbled, but followed Foggy onto the park anyway. Matt wrinkled his nose at the overwhelming, colliding smells of fried food, sweaty New Yorkers, and car exhaust. He nearly lost Foggy in the crowds when the scent of what he was pretty sure was lobster ice cream hit him like a pile of Maine-scented bricks, and he grabbed onto Foggy's upper arm. "Steady, Matt," said Foggy. "You all right?" "Just some conflicting olfactory information," said Matt. "You sure you wouldn't rather go to a real restaurant? I'm sure we can get pizza, cheese curds, fries, and gravies somewhere else." "Ah, but will they deep fry it on a stick?" "Just hang on, Matty, for me," Foggy said, patting Matt's knuckles on the hand still clenching Foggy's jacket. Matt really wanted to kiss Foggy. Instead, he just sighed and let Foggy guide him to get online. So, the food truck is wrapped in what appears to be a post-apocalyptic wasteland populated by raccoons and beavers, said Foggy. "So you know it's Canadian, I guess." "And where do the pizza and poutine come in?" Matt asked, raising an eyebrow. "The raccoons and beavers are eating it. And the name on the side is Putitsa Armageddon," said Foggy. "And you're sure you want to eat the food from this truck?" "I just heard somebody say the phrase, meatball mozzarella stick corn dog," said Matt. "That sounds way more trustworthy." "The heart wants what it wants," said Foggy. Wasn't that the goddamn truth? "If you get food poisoning, you still have to work tomorrow," grumbled Matt, pulling out his wallet as Foggy placed his order. "So," said Foggy, looking around the other trucks as they waited for his order. "There's a butter chicken taco truck. Think your delicate taste buds could handle that?" "Probably a little too heavy for tonight," said Matt. "Something happening?" Foggy said, leaning in and lowering his voice a little. "Maybe. Just stay away from the shipping yards for a few nights," said Matt, quietly. "Of course," said Foggy, flatly. "Shipping yards. Places I am always going to and hanging around. Random shipping yards at night." Matt grinned. Under his feet, the subway rumbled along. He was just starting to entertain the idea of kissing Foggy right then and there when the food truck called out, "Order for Funky?" "I have to imagine that's me," said Foggy. "Be right back." "I'll be here, Funky," said Matt. Matt mindlessly rolled his cane in between his hands. Maybe he should pick up something after all. He had to wash his suit when he got home before he could head out, and it wouldn't leave much time for picking up dinner. Maybe he could get a sandwich on the way home from a bodega. He felt it before he heard it, which was remarkable considering how early he heard things. The hairs on the back of his arms started to tingle, and Matt's senses narrowed right to the spot Foggy was about to step into, about to take a bite of his putitsa on a stick. Matt dove at Foggy. He collided with him, shoving him away right as a bolt of electricity struck the ground, missing them both by mere inches, followed shortly by Electro's nasal laugh. A chorus of screams broke out across the park as Matt and Foggy skidded to a stop under the chicken tender cookie truck. "Who the hell was that?" Foggy hissed. Matt detangled himself from Foggy. "Sounds like Electro," Matt said, shaking off the scent of burning ozone. "What's he got against food trucks? Or Canada?" "Probably not important," Matt said, patting down his pocket for his mask, before remembering. "Shit."
"What?"
"I don't have my suit," Matt whispered. Foggy balked. "You don't? You wear that thing every fucking day. How is today the day you don't have it?" "Well, it's been hot out. I needed to wash it. Do you want me in the office stinking of week-old sweat?" "You've repeatedly come into work smelling like you fell in a pile of trash on the way in, because you did fall in a pile of trash on your way in." "Not repeatedly, Foggy," said Matt. "Just once did that happen."
"Who are you trying to impress?" snapped Foggy.
"Impress? What nobody, our clients? Is this about that new clerk, Amelia? Foggy said, voice full of accusation and suspicion. I get that she's great and probably smells amazing or whatever, but you can't date our law clerks, Matthew. I don't want to date any of our law clerks, Matt said, exasperated. There was another crack of lightning on the grass a few feet away from their hiding place. Matt and Foggy both jumped. Foggy's heartbeat sped up and heat rushed to his face. Fear. Matt reached over and put his hand over Foggy's, lacing his fingers together. Matt meant this to be comforting, but oddly, it didn't slow Foggy's heart rate at all. I'm not going to let anything happen to you, Foggy, said Matt. I know, said Foggy. God, Matt wanted to kiss him. Screw it. Matt turned his head to Foggy, leaned in, and did. To his surprise, an absolute, unexpected delight, Foggy kissed him back. Said Foggy, after they broke apart. Sorry, said Matt. I probably should have asked first. No, no, said Foggy. That's okay. I think if you waited and asked, we'd never have gotten around to it. That's definitely true, said Matt. There was another sudden crack of electricity, and a number of the food truck workers sprinted away. Right, shit, Electro, said Matt. He groped around in his briefcase. Do you have a scarf, or a hat, or a tie, or... A tie tied over your face is not a good disguise, Matt, said Foggy. Well, I need something. Just call Spider-Man? Electro's one of his villains, right? I don't have his number memorized, Foggy, said Matt. So obviously this is my... Okay, never mind. Why never mind? Foggy was interrupted by the slap of a large furry tail, sending Electro collapsing into the grass. Squirrel Girl's here, said Matt. Don't let her see me. He hunkered down next to Foggy as Squirrel Musk and hundreds of actual squirrels filled the park, somehow overtaking every other smell in the block. Why can't she see you? She's got a bit of a crush on Daredevil, Matt grumbled. And knowing her, she'd figure out my identity real quick. Foggy snorted. Well, we can't have that. And let Matt cower next to him while the chittering crowd of not rodents sent Electro hightailing it out of the park, while Squirrel Girl herself yelled something about ruined Nanaimo bars. After a few minutes of quiet, the now sparse crowd emerged into the still smoldering park. Foggy sadly gazed down at what was likely his pizza, cheese, gravy, fry, stick monstrosity, lightly burned by Electro's attack and fully smushed by Electro landing on it. Sorry, Fog, said Matt, wrapping one arm around his shoulder. I guess it wasn't meant to be. Well, the truck is still working. Call it fate? It just wasn't meant to be, Matt repeated, like he hadn't heard Foggy. Again, I can just order another. Why don't we find a real restaurant? And then we can, well, Matt raised his eyebrows at Foggy. You know. Am I to understand there will be no further kissing if I try and eat the putitsa again, Foggy said, and, after pausing for a moment, took Matt by the hand. I'm afraid indigestion's not much of an aphrodisiac, said Matt. They started to stroll out of the park, away from the fried food, wreckage, and squirrels. How about wine and sushi? Foggy tilted his head towards Matt. That sounds much nicer. You're still paying, though, said Foggy. Oh, Matt sighed and smiled. If you insist. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work or the author.